episode 46 of Drunk on Comics, where I just want to say I hate my work, but I also thank them for closing down three stores where we have an unlimited supply of beef jerky and about a week's supply of beer. Thank you.
That's like zombie rations right there, dude.
I like how there's only a week's worth of beer, but plenty of jerky.
Yeah, well, everything, and gum. We got a lifetime supply of gum. It would all be lifetime supply, but the beer is going to go a little bit quicker.
Dude, I just thought about something. What if you gave, like, what if you came out with human flesh flavored, like, Everlast gum, and if the zombie apocalypse came, you just threw a piece of that into the zombie's mouth, would they be happy and just sitting there?
No, because it wouldn't fill up their stomach.
No, but they just sit there, keep chewing, thinking that they're eating.
It wouldn't be human flesh, it would be brains.
Well, okay, brain-flavored.
Actually, that would be good, though. Get their tooth all stuck with the gum and...
Well, yeah, they just keep sitting there going...
They're going to immediately swallow it.
Yeah.
That's true. They don't chew. They just swallow.
Well, that was a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, well... All right, welcome to Drunk on Comics.
Unfortunately, we haven't solved the zombie apocalypse plan yet, but we're still working on it.
We will. We will. Actually, that'll be a fun thing when we get to Motor City, when we get to talk to the artists from Fanboys vs. Zombies.
Indeed.
I want to know what their zombie plan is.
they probably
won't tell us.
Yeah, it's nothing they're going to write in the book.
Oh, no.
That shit secret.
No. So, yeah, Tony's got a noisy bag of beef jerky over there. Morning, Tony.
Morning.
Afternoon, Tony.
Breakfast of Champions.
I'm Derek.
I'm Matt.
I'm Kevin.
No, you're not. you're Midnight Jim.
This is Midnight Jim. No. All right, yeah, I'm Jim.
Yeah, we got special guest correspondent Jim filling in with us again here today. Kevin could not join. So we're going to get things kicked off with Off the Shelf, our little review of shit that came out this week. Off the Shelf, once again, brought to you by Motor City Comic Con. MotorCityComicCon.com, happening May 17th through the 19th in Novi, Michigan at the, where is it, Suburban Collection Showplace.
Something we like all have that. Kevin here to correct you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, we got a flyer right here, though.
Yeah.
Serbian Collection Showplace, actually.
That's a different one. That's completely separate from ours, but yeah. So here's your warning. We're going to talk about things that happened in comics this week. So
we're going to spoil it just like Derek spoiled where the Motor City Comic Con is located.
Every week I spoil it.
We're going to have to write it down.
Yeah. I don't know why I have such a problem with that. Like every time I start saying it, and all of a sudden in my head I hear the Price is Right music, and all I can think is Showcase Showdown. So, all right, guys, I'm going to kick it off this week. I got Wolverine number 2 from Marvel Comics, written by Paul Cornell, pencils by Alan Davis, inks by Mark Farmer, colors by Matt Hollingsworth, and Corey Petit did the letters on it. And they all combined for the cover as well. So, basically, this was a book that the second issue came out this week, and I completely passed up on the first issue. Because I'm like, cool, I love Alan Davis. In fact, I mean, he drew my all-time favorite issue of comics, of the Uncanny X-Men 213, which that's the book that got me back into comics. You know, well, not, I shouldn't say back in, but actually became a collector at a young age with that, wanting to know more. And I'm like, all right, cool, I'm gonna pick this up. And I picked up the first issue, and I went, yeah, you know, I like the art, but there's a kid in it. And I'm like, why the hell... Why did they have to bring in a kid to a Wolverine story?
Well, Wolverine had to team up with Jubilee for some reason.
Well,
Wolverine's a father figure, though. Well, a very dysfunctional father figure.
Well, and I get that. But, you know, it's like, cool, it was great when it was Kitty Pryde, but then they tried to make Jubilee Kitty Pryde 2, you know. And so this has this young kid in. Now, the little backstory to issue 1 for you guys, because I don't think you guys read this either. They're in this, actually I think it was in a bank or whatever it was, this dad has this ray gun and he shoots it at people and it just turns them to ash and bone, just disintegrates people. And the kid's there with his dad, doesn't know why it happened. Ends up being some kind of mind control. Wolverine has to kill the dad, the kid's going out. Turns out now the kid becomes mind controlled, he gets the gun when they come back in, and so now Wolverine's chasing this kid down, trying to save him because he doesn't have to kill a kid, you know. It's a cool story. I mean, it's actually a little bit more lighthearted of a, you know, Wolverine story than like those really dark, like, you know, I'm angry, somebody's dead, blah, 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 you know. But The
I think you just described most Wolverine books.
Yeah. Yeah, that's and
I'm
that's,
angry. Someone's dead.
Yeah.
Blah blah blah.
This is a little bit more fun. I mean it's a hair on the campy side, but there is mind control. We don't know where this gun came from, you know, but it was actually kind of fun seeing this kid being controlled, running around with this gun just blowing people off.
It reminds me of playing GoldenEye back in the day and having the babysitting mission with the chick just running around getting shot at and you trying to save her. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, so the one thing that I really did want to say is that while, you know, Alan Davis's art style has changed, which, you know, I would assume with any artist, you know, they progress and they, you know, they do change things around. It has changed, obviously, since the 80s when I first picked up Uncanny X-Men number 213, but the great thing about it is his panel layouts and his angles and point of views are still just top-notch. I mean, it was a fun book. I'm glad I picked it up. And actually, I got to give a shout-out to our buddy Dom, the Fat Lantern, because he was asking us about Wolverine, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I do want to check out that new Wolverine book coming out. I think it's coming out in the next couple months, and then I get I look on my my app for my pull list, and I'm like, oh, crap, I missed number one. And then I'm like, oh, no, I didn't. I skipped it. So I did pick it up, try something new. It was pretty fun. Oh, and there's one thing.
The last page is pretty awesome.
I tried to ignore that.
It's got the Watcher.
It does have the Watcher.
Wolverine knows. Now I know we're in trouble.
Yeah. So the Watcher's in it. I hate the Watcher. He's a fucking dick. God.
Such a peeping Tom.
Yeah. So that's it. I do recommend it. Like, I mean, if you're looking for something for a little just extra Wolverine action, Sam Jackson, Nick Fury's in here. And I have such a problem reading that Nick Fury because all I hear is, like, snakes on a plane, like, when he's talking. That's it. So.
Well, I don't know. I'm glad in one of our books we have the real Nick Fury.
Really?
With the real Nick Fury, please stand up.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yes.
Do you know, I mean, obviously people should start picking
Sit
up.
Sit down, Jim.
People should start picking up the Wolverine books because, well, he's going to be dead come summer.
Yeah, that's supposedly.
Yeah.
So probably not. He'll be dead for a couple months.
Yeah.
Same way Spider-Man's dead for a couple months.
Yeah. So, that's it on my book. Why don't you guys
kick off? This week, Tony and I are going to review some books together. I believe it's called Time Travel from Marvel Now, Then, and the Past.
And whenever, whatever.
Because what we found is four of the books that we normally pick up all have to do with time travel as a huge plot point. It's the whole story hinges around the idea of time travel. We have Age of Ultron, book number 5. By Brian Bendis, art by Brian Hitch, Paul Neary as inker, and Paul Mons as color. Good book. Their plan to go into the future to take out Ultron. They're on their way to do it. This is the book that has real Nick Fury. He's had a backup plan.
Plan is time travel.
Time travel, yeah. He stole Doom's time platform.
But there's two time travels in that. They want to go to the future where Ultron is, who's controlling the past right
now. And Wolverine.
Which is the present. With the Vision.
Yeah.
And then Wolverine wants to go into the past to kill Hank Pym before Ultron's even made. Butterfly effects.
Is this current time or not? I don't understand.
It is, but already I can almost assure you that this book is going to wrap up with a nice Deus Ex Machina of time travel, setting everything the way it should have been.
You guys have loved that phrase the last 2 weeks.
it's a phrase that keeps coming up.
Yeah, it is. Time travel is one of the coolest vehicles of telling a story, but it's the shittiest way to wrap up your story to just be like, oh, and that's how we solved it.
Yeah, we went back in time and warned ourselves not to do it. No, Deus Ex Machina, by the way, is also Superman's power because he always wins for some reason.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next time travel book. We have Fantastic Four. And this one's fun because the issue number 5 was the tie-in to the Age of Ultron where the Fantastic Four family go back to Earth. They leave the kids alone. And next thing you know, Sue's the only one still alive. And they're in the Age of Ultron. But now this book starts off with the whole family back together. So does it happen before they went back to Age of Ultron? After they went back to Age of Ultron?
It could happen whenever because it's time travel.
I don't know.
I have not had enough to drink today yet to comprehend what the fuck is going on.
Time travel!
So they time travel back to the Big Bang.
Yeah, they went before time existed. They went back in time. Pretty neat story. I actually thought that we were going to see Ben Grimm, an old Ben Grimm tied up to this rock to be destroyed by the Big Bang, but it happens to be Blastar of the Negative Zone.
Who destroys their time-traveling ship. I don't know if you know, one of the big reasons why I was reading FF a year ago was because one of my favorite characters is Franklin Richards, because his powers are, he's pretty much a god, but he's a kid, doesn't know how to control it. And so it was cool seeing that dynamic. And so I've been loving that they have him back in the regular Fantastic Four book so that you get the Fantastic Four plus seeing what Franklin might do. And one of the big things to solve their problem with Blastar destroying their entire ship
and the Big Bang about ready to destroy them
is to use his powers, which his parents were like, you're not ready. You
so he
do
uses
it.
His powers to bring them to the end of time. So we've gone from the beginning to the end in one book. Next time travel?
My mind cannot comprehend.
Oh, it gets better. By the way, Fantastic Four brought to you by Matt Fraction, Mark Farmer, Mark Bagley, and Paul Mounts. Again, Paul Mounts doing a lot of color.
Yeah.
All right. Next book, Uncanny Avengers number 6.
Which by the way, I did pick this up only because it was a tie-in to Remender's Uncanny X-Force a little bit. So,
We have Rick Remender as writer Dan Acuna? No, Acuna.
Daniel.
I'm glad Jim's here because he probably knows how to pronounce people's names. We're a bunch of assholes.
No, you're a dork. Your shirt says.
And Chris Eliopoulos?
Eliopoulos
is letters. But anyways, cool book. Thor from, Viking Age Thor is getting attacked by Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really pissed off because Apocalypse takes him out.
Well, no, Apocalypse is kind of searching for someone who is supposed to have some battle in the future, and he kind of wants to prevent that.
He wants to do what Wolverine's doing by killing Hank Pym to stop this person from existing in the future. So Apocalypse is trying to kill Thor because he knows Thor is
and Logan.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll get to that part.
And I spoiled it!
One of the things that I know with the Rise of Apocalypse, a great series back in the day, how he got some of his equipment and time travels from Rama Tut. Rama Tut is Kang, or at least one of his personas, because Kang is also Immortus, and as some people say, he's Nathaniel Richards, Reed Richards' father, so blow your mind.
They never really have given the true identity of Kang, but they've given him lots of possible identities.
Yeah. And so having him also in here,
Rama Tut in here, telling Apocalypse, hey, kill Thor because he's going to be a pain in your side in the future. But Apocalypse is like, okay.
But that was all a setup to get the Enchanted Blade.
Yeah, so because Thor can't hurt Apocalypse because he's wearing celestial armor. So he goes and complains to his dad, Odin, help me beat him. And he's like, no, son, because we have a pact with the Celestials, as the Sky Fathers had. And it really made me feel like the vastness of the Marvel Universe in just Odin saying, back in time, the Sky Fathers made a pact with the Celestials of a non-interference clause. And I'm like, that's right, there's a lot of shit in the Marvel Universe.
Well, there's also, this is the first time where I didn't think Odin was being a dick to his son. Yeah. Odin was pretty much saying, son, don't fuck this up for all of us.
Yeah.
These are the rules. Please follow them. This is one of the first times where I've realized Thor was really an asshole and really did defy his father all the damn time.
Yeah.
So, what's Thor do? He gets Loki to help him out and chants the blade to be able to destroy celestial armor.
But it wasn't Loki, it was Kang. Dun, dun, dun! Time travel.
All this is Kang setting up something, which in the last Uncanny X-Force, they had the debut of the Apocalypse twins. Something's going on in the now time. This is the past time. And Kang is setting something up for the future time.
This is such a mess.
Because in the last... Well,
we'll get back to the Logan part in a second.
The last part of this is Kang going to...
Baron Modo.
Yeah, and taking the Enchanted Blade out of his skull.
His head, yeah.
So now he's got this Enchanted Blade and...
That can destroy Celestial... Or at least penetrate Celestial's armor. So that's what's neat about it.
I penetrate Celestial's.
Ramatut said, you know, kill this Thor guy and also kill this folklore Logan. Yeah. Where you're like, all right, just the last name Logan, is this Wolverine? Well, it's not actually Wolverine. It's just a distant ancestor of his.
Yeah.
But what's great is there are two guards in London back at, like, you know, 1,000 AD. The Norse are about to invade and stuff. But these two guardsmen, and one says, the woman has a kettle drum for a back end. And as a lad, I was the thing I prayed for, and my dear betrothed is graced with one. And they get in this conversation about this Logan guy being a pagan, and he's like, I have sex with anyone. And he's like, you're a Roman Catholic, though, aren't you? Well, yeah. Yeah, sure speeds up the nuptials, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was a great line.
Once Thor comes in and beats the four horsemen that Apocalypse had at the moment, the only survivor right there is the Logan guy, and a buddy goes, Logan, you are the best there is at what you choose to do.
Yeah.
So that's how you know for sure this was one of Wolverine's... this. Anyways, last time travel book.
It also involves Thor because, well...
Yeah. It's called Thor.
Yeah, Thor, God of Thunder, God Bomb, Part 1, Jason Aaron, Esav Ribich. Ribich, that's right. I was going to get it right this time and then...
You were close, like, was, yeah.
Ribich. And crew.
And crew. Yeah.
As you know, I've been following this since Jason Aaron's run started. It's had time travel since the beginning, and...
Showing the three versions.
Showing three different Thors.
Past, future, and current.
And yep. I've always loved how they start off, and each time you're not quite sure which time it is, except for the weapons. When he's past time, he's got his axe. When it's now time, he's got his hammer. And then future time, you can see he's got like
he's missing an arm.
The cable arm, yeah.
It's an arm of a destroyer.
Oh, yeah,
the destroyer armor.
Yeah.
And an eye patch.
Yeah, and he has Nick Fury's eye patch.
Yep. And he's also got Odin's beard, so makes him pretty powerful.
the beard makes him powerful. Yeah.
What are you saying? Beards are powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should have shaved yours, Tony.
Yeah.
So,
Weakling.
This book is still really awesome. Hopefully you've been following it and you've been enjoying it. If not, go back and pick it up.
Go back in time and...
Go back in time, pick it up and...
Go to Kevin's comic shop where, there's...
Time travel exists.
Yeah. And current things aren't there.
The best part, at the end of the last issue, present Thor made it to the future with future Thor. And the two of them are like standing, what the hell?
Wait. Present Thor went to the future and saw future Thor.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I want to make sure I'm following this.
Okay.
Now, where's Marvel Now Thor?
He's in the future.
Yeah, he just got to the future. And one of the
it's Marvel then.
Yes. The conversation between old man Thor and present day Thor was some of the best time travel banter that I've heard in a while. First off, Odin insults Thor by calling him a half-witted Hercules, which I thought was just a zing.
And I love Thor's thinking, is this one of those stupid X-Men timeline places that I'm in?
Yeah, he says, is this an alternate future the X-Men are always going on about? He also says, well, why are you so surprised? Old man Thor's like, why are you so surprised? You've time traveled before. Yeah, but I never expected to see me here. And he goes, where are you right now? Are you are you an Avenger, Guardian of the Galaxy? Have you moved to the sun yet to become a cosmic god cop? A what? Oh, forget I said anything. it was just really good, fun banter. And the other really cool part is that old man Thor tells young Thor, present day Thor, hey, there's that room that you weren't supposed to go in ever.
Yeah. Odin said you couldn't
it's forbidden to go in there. He goes, yeah, go in there and get some stuff ready for our trip. We're going to go attack the bad guy. He's like, what is it? He opens it up. It's Odin's liquor cabinet. Ale. I'm like... Jason Aaron, I think, is telling a great story here.
Oh, but don't forget past Thor
is now
brought into future place as well.
Because of the God Killer, Gore, the God Butcher, brings him into the present. So we have all three...
Future present.
So future. So we have all three Thors, past, present, and future, all in the same dystopian future where the God Butcherer is making a giant, huge Death Star. Because that's what it looks like, but it's really a bomb.
So, but if they're all in the future, then that technically is going to be the now for all of them. So
for the time being,
so would that be the now, the past, and the pastor?
I'm just waiting for Thor to run up with Ultron. I'm just waiting for the rest of the Avengers to come up and fight Ultron in this future.
Do you know why I won't pick up that book?
Because of time travel?
No, not because of time travel, but there's going to be three damn characters all using the Thor Vedica font. And fuck that. I'm out.
But a lot of really fun, annoying rules of time travel.
That are being broken in every single different issue, and they're following different sets of...
I'm really tired, and I wish I could go back in time now.
So here's all I have to say. Time travel can be a fun vehicle for storytelling, particularly when you're just telling a story out of order, right? But when all the characters start time traveling and you start thinking of the butterfly effect and how it would change this and yada, 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 it just gets mind-blowing.
There doesn't need to be this many different series doing time travel at once.
That I think is where I was going with this because, you know, you guys just explained, I read one out of three of those. And, I mean, I was okay with the one, but yeah. Why do all of them have to be time travel? Yeah. I mean, like, seriously, Marvel, you have enough other shit.
Yeah, you'd think editorial would come in and just be like, you know, let's throttle it back. You guys do your time travel story.
You guys know what this really is. At the Marvel camp, retreat camp, where all the writers get together. A few years ago, we had Fear Itself, where they go, hammers for everyone. This is time travel. We can do it. Let's get DeLoreans. Everyone got their DeLorean. You get a DeLorean. You get a DeLorean.
You get a phone booth.
You get a phone booth. So, anyways. So some good books. I Uncanny Avengers, Thor, God of Thunder were awesome, and I've actually not been this intrigued with books for a while. So,
but I am wondering if there will be a crossover of. I just want to see some artists just do like a little wave, like
hey, high five,
time high five. see you back in Avengers Tower.
Wait, which Avengers Tower? I thought we were still at the mansion.
Whatever.
My only problem, though, that I do have personally about me picking up Uncanny Avengers is I dropped it after issue 3, and now the OCD completist collectible person in me is going to have to go back and pick up the other.
We also know with something we're going to talk later, a lot of stuff's going to be coming out of Uncanny come this summer. We told you.
Yeah, but I'm done. I'm not going to keep picking up. I just wanted to peek at what was going on.
We're nice. You can read our books.
Yeah, that's cool.
You gonna ever bring me those X-Force? Because I still want to read Rick Remender.
Not the way you handle my books, no. No.
Jim, what do you got?
Well, sadly, a book that does not involve time travel was Saga issue 12 by the amazing Brian K. Vaughan, Fiona Staples, and letters by Phonographics.
Brian K. Vaughan is amazing, but Fiona Staples isn't.
You know, she's really good, and I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Fiona.
But, yeah, so we get an issue that's basically centered around Prince Robot the IV, who's a character that...
It's a great name.
You've kind of seen just, Prince like, Robot a little bit here and there. So...
What would his title be in binary? Prince Robot the
001100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100100
after Marco and Alana, and he had found the book that Alana, right?
Yeah, Alana was reading to Marco while he was a prisoner, and they were falling in love.
So he gets this crazy idea to go and go to the writer, find him on this planet, and
which I don't understand why he assumed that they would go.
Yeah.
To that planet.
He assumes Marco and Alana are going to show up, and so the entire issue is basically Prince Robot the Fourth, kind of like it's almost like the first scene in Inglourious Basterds with like the interrogation, like it kind of builds up. Bad stuff happens.
You can say it.
The guy gets shot in the leg. The writer. He gets shot in the leg.
How's he gonna write?
I'm not sure yet. We'll probably find out.
Writer, not rider.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not like bicycles.
So Prince Robot the Fourth is like, all right, they're not here, but they're gonna come soon.
Yeah.
Last page reveal.
Aha!
Marco and Alana are up on the second floor of the building or of the
lighthouse.
The lighthouse. Yeah.
They've been there with their baby for a week.
Oh.
So although I gotta say, the beginning of this story is and there's like. You left out one of my favorite parts.
Back to the beginning, we get a flashback to
time travel.
Prince Robot, Time travel.
No. Flashback.
Sorry. Yeah.
It's a flashback to Prince Robot the Fourth in like a battle, and he gets shot. This squirrel girl comes up and starts.
Actually, before we
squirrel
get into
Squirrel
Girl's
that, an awesome character. I love her.
Avengers. Before we get into that, I thought it was interesting because they're royalty and they refer to them as Blue Bloods, but their blood is actually blue. So I just thought, I'm like, that's kind of cool. So,
but it's one of my favorite scenes in this book. It's just the first four pages, but Brian K. Vaughan builds up this character you've never seen in two pages and then kills her off on the third page. And you just like, you feel so bad. It's not good. It's not so good.
Yeah, because, well, like, it's this cute little squirrel chipmunky type, you know, medic who is helping out. And then the side that they're fighting against uses poisonous gas, and she explodes like a water balloon. So, it's kind of sad.
Maybe they can put her in a cryogenic chamber and come back, because, you know, people don't stay dead.
Yeah,
it's one of like Brian K. Vaughan's, like, I don't know if it's like a parlor joke, but he can make you care about somebody in a page. You know?
Made you be empathetic.
Although,
other than that,
well, that when Prince Robot the Fourth shows up on the planet with the writer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got the. You guys got to see this.
Like the
this
one
is
of
a
the
video
cutest...
podcast, right? Look at this, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, is it an adorable baby seal?
It's a little seal.
Oh, man. If that thing dies in the next page, I might cry.
Thank God. The seal fisherman thing.
Yeah,
he doesn't die.
He's clubbed to death.
I was waiting for it. I was waiting to see Negan from Walking Dead come in with Lucille and bash his little brains in. It's going to be the first true image crossover, Walking Dead to Saga. You know?
Or someone comes up, do you want to go dancing tonight? Let's go clubbing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was an issue of cute animal people.
A Cyclops writer.
A lot of suspense building up throughout the entire issue. A really good payoff. Unfortunately, they're taking a break so that Fiona Staples can catch up on art, which I'm fine with. I don't want any fill-in artists on this book or anything. She's been knocking it out of the park since issue one.
You should have said that when you introduced the book, then.
I'm sorry. I was saving it for later, Fiona.
Now, do you know how long of a break they're taking?
I think it's going to be... I know the last break they took was just a month. This one might be one or two.
Yeah.
I've heard both.
I don't care. This book is so damn good.
We don't get that a lot in comics anymore, like with Marvel's double shipping and stuff, and artists can't keep up.
No.
You get these fill-in artists, have a book...
Or you have, like, Superior, where, you know, it's like first three issues are Stegman, mm-hmm. second three issues are, you know... Ramos or whoever it was, and the next three issues are this, and then it goes back to Stegman, and then it's gonna, you know, it's like, I understand you got to pump out the books, but sometimes this is where I love what Image and a lot of the other smaller publishers do, is that it's more about the actual product than about the final just the cash quantity, numbers at the end of the day.
And this book is gonna last for a long time. It's really cool that like Fiona Staples is on board, from what I've heard, for this entire thing. And just to have a really good run of just the same creators, nobody else coming in, is a really awesome thing, especially with the book this good.
I remember I saw a little thing from her. I think it might have been in the first issue about how can't make a comic without Staples. Yeah, I like that. So, all right, I think that pretty much wraps it up for Off the Shelf this week. So. Once again, brought to you by Motor City Comic Con. Go check them out and come see us on May 17th through the 19th.
Yeah. So. We can see the future, and the future is Motor City.
Yeah.
Comic Con.
Yeah, and 17th through the 19th.
Where is it at, Derek?
It's in Burbank, California, at the Merv Griffith Theater.
The Serbian show place. Collection.
Yeah.
Let's do Indie Turnpike.
Indie Turnpike. All right. This week I'm doing something a little different. I'm kind of breaking my rule where I normally don't like to review books before they come out.
Ooh.
So this is going to be a spoiler-free warning. We got the review copy of Journey, J-I-R-N-I.
Don't stop believing. Oh, different Journey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Journey number one from Aspen Comics, written by our good friend J.T. Krull, pencils by Paolo Pantalena, colors by Brett Smith and letters by Josh Reed. And this story, like, if you listen to our interview with JT that we did a couple months ago, where he kind of gave us a little bit of information on it, this story centers around a warrior woman named Ara, who is a little bit of a shapeshifter, you find out. That's one of the little things that I will slightly spoil in here. She's been gifted with a bunch of powers, primarily, it seems like, super strength and agility at this point. Maybe not super strength, but just she's
enhanced.
She's pretty damn tough. She's traveling to find her mother, or at least find out what happened to her. She doesn't know if her mother's still alive or dead.
And this is the journey she goes on?
It's a little play on the word journey, yeah. Now, along the way, it's at the very beginning of the comic, Ara comes across a young woman and her father who are being cannibalized alive by a horde of orc-type creatures, and they're actually skinning her father, who's, like, strapped up. And the one orc is like, this would be a lot easier if they were already dead. And he goes, yeah, but I like my meat fresh. I mean, it's kind of a brutal scene. But now, Ara manages to save the girl, but she's not able to save the father. And I'm not going to say too much more about it, because this does hit stand on Wednesday. But I'll give a little bit more in the teasers from J.T. Krule's own words at the back of the comic, where he says that this is, and I quote, his love letter to all things fantasy. Lord of the Rings, Conan, Flash Gordon, Dungeons and Dragons, the Dark Tower series, and basically anything Frank Frazetta ever created. So, this story has all sorts of creatures of a fantasy world. It's got a touch of magic. It's got swordplay. It's got djinns, or genies if you prefer. There's, you know, the beauty of, like, these strange and fantastic lands going all the way through it. And one thing I you guys have heard me bitch about before, and a lot of it has to do with especially the big two publishers, is that they don't have enough of, is strong female characters who have solo titles. This is the perfect antidote to that problem.
Are the genies good genies or bad genies?
I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, looking through with the art, you totally see that Frazetta influence.
Yes.
And it does look like you're reading, like, somebody's D&D campaign or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I mean, the art by Pantalena is breathtaking. The colors by Smith, though, really take his art to the next level, I think. Mm-hmm. And the writing by Krule is some of his best work. But this book, to me, is a total package of what a great comic book should be. I mean, you got stunning art, vibrant and strong characters, and there's just enough mystery and intrigue in this first issue to make you beg for the second one. And it doesn't, like, make you lost and confused, which a lot of times people try and put too much into it, I think. You know, and there's all these little things that are going on that you just end up don't forgetting about, or you just don't care about. So, two massive mugs up to Aspen for putting this creative team together. And by the way, this is another one of Aspen's 10 for 10 initiative, which means it's only $1 for the first issue. So if you don't pick this book up on Wednesday, you're out of your mind.
So it's coming out this coming up Wednesday?
Yeah. The Wednesday, the 17th, I think it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go pick this book up. This is why it's one of the few times I'll ever break my rule, but this is such a damn good book. I want everybody to go grab it.
I never knew you had a rule.
I have, like, two.
What's the other one?
Don't.
There are no rules.
The other one is don't drink while I'm sleeping.
That's a good rule.
Yeah, that one's hard to break.
Yeah. I've seen you do it a couple times.
All right, what do we got, Tony?
We got a little news. We got a little newts.
Yeah.
News and notes.
Otherwise, when you combine them together like I did earlier, they're newts.
Oh, you turned me into a newt. I got separated.
So, we can just call the salamanders from now on.
Because the title's not confusing enough. News and notes. Whatever. Okay, we always talk about news. When do we ever bring up notes, though? Just a note?
We did have some notes a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Just randomness that we talked about.
Oh, yeah, it was the notes was the hanging out with Chris Hardwick and Matt Mira from...
Okay.
From the Nerdist.
But that would have been news. That would have been news to our listeners.
Well, March Madness. That was our March Madness bracket.
It was noteworthy.
Yeah.
How about that, Dick?
Never going to mention you in a note anymore.
Yeah.
Newts, go on.
All right, Newts, we did discuss a while back that the villains were going to get number one issues at DC, and apparently that's been confirmed for September. So, you know, it will basically be like, and I don't know which ones they've done, but like Superman will be Lex Luthor number one, and, you know, Batman will be Joker number one, and
or which
I can't remember. Is it gonna follow? Is it just gonna be the covers, or is it gonna actually be like a cool in
no,
their
the
mind
like story? Thing? It's gonna be like a one shot villain story, from what I've heard.
So you're gonna do 52 one shot villain stories.
Well, I think they're only down to like what 38 titles now. I mean, yeah, who knows?
I think they're at 50 right now, and I from what I heard, there's gonna be 56 villain. One shots, so some of those might actually carry over.
Is it going to be the new 56 then?
How long is it still New 52?
How long is it going to be Marvel Now?
It can always be Marvel Now because of time travel. So yeah, I mean it's something that I may actually pick up a couple extra DC titles just because I think I like their villains more than I like their heroes.
Yeah, their villains got a little more. I don't know, more about them that, like, the heroes
actually more
are,
personality?
Yeah, that's what the correct word is, yeah. The heroes are...
More limitations on their powers?
Yeah.
I'm just not sure, like, they did this last year with the... they did this with the Zero issues last September, and it's kind of like September's their... air quotes, like, gimmick month,
They can't see your air quotes. I mean, I know you said it, but you
see can, my air guitar.
They can hear my air quotes. But I don't know if this is really necessary. I mean, maybe just tell a story in the regular ongoing series with the villain being the main character.
Yeah, but, you know, here's where I will say it's acceptable for this little hook. Like Tony and I just said, we don't buy a bunch of DC, but we will buy more that month. Just because of it, but I don't know. I mean, like, I'm excited to see Aquaman's, you know,
Black Manta or something,
or Goldfish Ick number one.
No other DC news. They've finally released some details on the Trinity War. This is something that about a year ago was a huge talk about, and then it's kind of gone off the radar.
The Raider.
Yes, the Raider. The refrigerator.
The one guy from Oakland that plays that game.
There's a lot of threes as far as DC, the Trinity of like Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, and that's what a lot of people were thinking this was going to come down to. But then throughout some other books this past year, there's this idea of Trinity of Sin, consisting of Pandora, Phantom Stranger, and The Question, and that seemed a little more cosmic, and possibly getting some of the new gods to come back in DC universe. Which that was actually, you know, having Darkseid and everything come and be Thanos 2, you know, would get me to pick up those books.
Technically, he's Thanos 1, though.
I know, but...
But he's Thanos dumber.
Yeah.
Well, they've already brought Orion into the Wonder Woman series, so are they just... Is this going to be bringing the rest of the new guys?
Well, no,
in,
this or? Was also just a thought of what the Trinity is. Okay. Here's what Trinity comes down to be. It's going to be Justice League versus Justice League America versus Justice League Dark. That's the Trinity War.
Okay. And first off, I have no way to tell the difference between those three teams.
Can I time travel and go back and forget this conversation?
And one of the big things, too, is these are just going to take place between their series. There's going to be no standalone book that will tie everything together. It doesn't seem like a big event, but they've been talking about this thing for a freaking year with a lot of rumors flying of great ideas, and this is what they decide to do. Let's have our three teams battle it out.
Yeah, this has been brewing since Flashpoint, right before New 52. When they introduced Pandora and everything,
so this just seems utterly garbage.
What if they do it deathmatch style though?
That'd be cool, but
because that'd be original then.
Yeah, sure. Because they wouldn't come back to life a couple of comic books later.
I'm not sure why.
When they reset the universe, they'll come back.
Yeah, I was gonna say someone's gonna do time travel in this.
Yeah, speaking of bringing things back to life, twofold. Number one, Marvel brought back to life their free 700 digital issues, which
I missed out on that.
Yeah, because your work hates you and kept you away from your computer. But yeah, so that happened last week, and I didn't hear any problems. So, you know.
Maybe they did it right this time?
Yeah, I think they understood. But more importantly, on bringing things back to life because nobody stays dead. Oh, Rick Remender, I love you, but I'm going to trust in you, but I'm not happy to see that Sentry, Banshee, Daken, and then that one dude that got killed in Uncanny Avengers by Rogue here, I can't remember his name, are being brought back to life as the Four Horsemen.
That was the Grim Reaper.
Oh, Grim Reaper. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so why? Like, it,
all right, first
it's
off,
been what, well, 6 months
hold
since
on.
Daken's been dead?
Yeah, Daken, I totally agree, should stay dead. Yeah. Sentry,
for two reasons. One,
yeah, go with Daken.
Number
first.
One, better story for Wolverine if he's more, give him something to be angsty
Wolverine's
about again.
Wolverine's going to be dead, so.
Yeah, give him something to be angsty
you
about.
You just won't stop bringing that up.
And number two, the character sucked. So keep him dead for that reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew that the Sentry would come back eventually, particularly because as soon as he was dead, his little robot goes, "Oh, I'm going to build the new watchtower." And you're like, no one's following this robot to see where they're building the new watchtower? But they kind of said that, you know, the Sentry, all of his power, it's going to come back. And I was I'm okay with that because I thought, hey, you made him into this really powerful villain. Future story arc with the Sentry coming back could be kind of cool, but if you're just going to bring him back to be one of the horsemen of the one of the Four Horsemen, who would greatly overshadow all of the other ones,
the horsemen.
Why would you need four of them if you have the Sentry?
Yeah,
he is one of the. Here's the thing, though, too, with this picture, and I'm sorry, but this seems exactly like almost they're doing like a Blackest Night thing in the Marvel universe, like. They're all shaded and kind of like a darkness. And if they're coming back as bad guys,
when I look here, I just see, especially Banshee. Oh, is that Archangel 3?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's
Reaper looks like Galactus with a scythe on his arm.
Well, he's like Galactus Junior because yeah. He's
I just hope the Sentry is the Horseman of Tears. That'd be kind
of
good.
I just loved the description of his power. He's got the power of 1,000 exploding suns.
But as I said, this is going to be coming out of Uncanny Avengers number 10, so.
Yeah, I'm
staying away from it.
Yeah.
You can just borrow it from us, remember?
I'll just listen to you guys talk about it. I'll be good on that. Like, Jim, I think you actually know a little bit more on this one for whatever reason, but. DC and Gail Simone are bringing a transgendered character back to DC.
How do I know more about this?
Through your operation.
Wait, what? Oh, I see what you guys did there. That's not cool. That's not cool. Oh, come on.
All right, so they're bringing a transgendered character to Batgirl. I really don't care.
Yeah. I don't care either. I mean, it's cool that they're including that. I don't know how, like, it's such a big deal that it needs to be talked about. Let it just be.
Exactly.
It's not a newsworthy thing, really.
Oh, no, well, it's news it's, all over, though. Yeah.
And that's the thing. Why are people reporting on this? Let the comic book readers read it. It's a character.
Well, the point is that it's, in a way, it's the comic books embracing people's alternative lifestyles and saying, hey, you're okay with us, we'll have you represented. But on the other side of it, it's like when they started putting African-Americans as heroes. It's like, how? We got you one. See what we have? One here? You got your one. Now don't complain. So it's, I don't know. I never appreciate it as much because I don't think that they go far enough to include those different point of views. It's just like, we give lip service to it and we have it represented.
Well,
so
the thing is that Gail Simone said that the character, was going to be a character and, quote, not a public service announcement.
Okay, which would be good.
Yeah, you know, which is cool. And, you know, the one thing that she said is that, you know, she doesn't want to keep comics in that thinking of, like, the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You read a couple of the pages where they showed it.
I'm totally for, you know, like, putting diversity and stuff in comics, you know, and you're going to get a better story for it, you know. And I mean, that's the basis of the X-Men, is that diverse, exact idea, right? But whenever they do this, they seem to kind of like, it's news, look at this, throw it in your face, you know, like, we're doing it. It's like, just do it.
Just
you know,
let
like,
it happen.
I think, as I mentioned before, how a lot of times they're like, let's advertise it so everyone goes and picks up this book, when instead, just plan a second printing of it if the first one sells out. And all your loyal readers who pick it up and be like, I was not expecting that. That's really awesome. You've kept them wanting to come. You get other people going, well, maybe I should buy books more often because there might be these surprises that come up. Instead, it's like, oh, if I'm a collector and I want to buy a book, I'll just buy that one book that everyone told me to buy. So
there's going
to
be a Dread 3D sequel. That movie kicked ass. Unfortunately, this is going to be a comic book sequel, but still it's a sequel nonetheless to the universe that the movie took place. So there's going to be a couple different Judge Dredd comics out there. He's catching up with Wolverine.
Sweet.
Is he going to die this summer too?
One of the cool things that I saw is that Kelly Sue DeConnick, who writes Captain Marvel, collaborated with We Love Fine, and they're doing some Marvel T-shirt superheroes. The three that I saw, two of them are Captain Marvel. One of them with the Dexter Soy Captain Marvel on it from the back page of the first issue, which I love. They do have guys' shirts in this too, so I'm gonna get one of these. But there's one with Spider Woman on it. Oh, and actually, I should say that the reason that this is actually newsworthy is that it's not just, oh, hey, look, here's new Marvel T-shirts. They're actually like working with the Girls Leadership Institute, and so it's like, you know, it's a charity type thing.
Okay.
So it's kind of cool. Look, you know, just look up Kelly Sue DeConnick and T-shirts, and you'll find it. But there's a great one with, and I want you to see this, with Spider-Woman. She's like fingers forward going, Hulk, you know, trying to like put the little trans on it, then just says, make me a sandwich.
Nice.
You know, using her mind control over men, but it's just very, very funny. But yeah, so I think all the shirts are like $25, you know, which not terrible, and, you know, money's going to something cool.
Cool.
So, Tony, did you have any other news?
Our favorite Spider-Man with a ghost following around is going to be around for a while.
Yeah. He's not a ghost, but that's okay. But, yeah. At some point.
Superior Spider-Man.
I hope that they never, ever fix this so that, like, 10 years from now, Tony and I can still have
argue
this.
About this.
Yeah.
But Avenging Spider-Man is going to be retitled and become Superior Spider-Man Team-Up.
Which, I mean, it kind of makes sense because it's
basically
been a lot of
what it's been.
But the article that I saw said that yes, it's going to be team up. It's more like a versus because realistically, Superior Spider-Man isn't working well with anybody. So
here's what I get is, so really what you're saying is we're canceling the title of Avenging Spider-Man and making a new title called Superior Spider-Man Team Ups.
Number one.
Let's just say because you don't better. How can you just take a different comic and like we're going to completely change the title, completely change what it's about, and say it's still part of that title.
Yeah, it is going to be a number one.
So they haven't changed the title.
I think
they've
it's
just canceled
just like
and made a new one.
Misdirection to make you think that Peter Parker's not coming back. They'll still bring him back, and he'll just be Superior Spider-Man or something like that.
I don't.
It's
think
just
that
a happen. Just an adjective, you know.
What if he comes back and there is Spectacular, Amazing, Fantastic
Superior.
Spider-Man? What if there's Peter Parker Spider-Man and Otto Spider-Man?
What? Yeah, Tony and I were talking about this the other day, and it actually just made me think. We should all secretly write our ideas of how we think this is going to play out in the end and what the ramifications will be. And then when we finally get those, we can say, ha, I told you so. I was right back on this date.
Well, I'm so curious to see how many issues it goes. You guys both said 12.
I said 13.
Oh, 13?
Yeah, because we just differentiated.
Yeah. So. I said 15.
Jim, but, do you want to weigh in?
Well,
on this?
No, it's too late. It's already started, but
I'm sorry.
Jim's going to say like four.
I really have no interest in it to start with, but I'll say
give us a random number.
Let's say
16.1?
Yeah, you know.
Because it watched it end on a point one.
18 maybe? Like
okay.
A year and a half?
All right,
that seems like
Yep, they've been coming out bi-monthly, so that's
or bi-weekly, depending on how you prefer to say it, which I hate that term. I think we talked about this before.
We have.
Yeah.
Jim, not to make you sad, but there's going to be no Hellboy 3 movie.
What?
No, they don't.
What?
Sad? Why isn't there going to be a Hellboy 3 movie?
Because they've been saying that it won't happen.
Why?
No funding.
From what I hear, Mignola wants to do it. Mike Mignola, the creator. Del Toro, the director, wants to do it. Ron Perlman, who played Hellboy, wants to do it. Universal, I think, is the studio that has the rights. They don't at the moment. But that could change in the future.
Yeah, because movies based on comic books don't make any money.
No.
You know, I don't think the Hellboy movies did
as well as
that
they
well.
Did like, they make a profit?
Yes.
Then shut the fuck up and make another one. You know, that's how I look at it.
Because Jim really wants it to happen.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind it, you know.
I like it. So, we got some best.
I got a note just for Matt. I need to go pick up some shaving cream and teepee. So, here we go. We got a note in news and notes.
All right, we'll see you.
Shaving cream
and teepee. What are you doing later tonight?
I don't know, but we'll be at your house after you go to sleep.
Nope, having chili for lunch.
and I need a shave. I don't. all right, best on tap.
Best on tap.
Our favorite cover of the week.
Coolest cover segment. Sasquatch picks the cool cover.
By the way, Ari did get her prize of her. Her custom cover, which Mr. Jay Shimko, thank you for donating that for our contest.
Yep.
He did a Captain Marvel because that is one of Ari's favorite characters. Because awesome. Carol fucking Danvers. Actually, it's hashtag because Carol fucking Danvers. He did a fucking knockout job on that cover.
That was a gorgeous cover.
Yeah, that's some of the best work I've seen from him. I mean, it was really nice. But anyway, Ari did have the winning submission to call our favorite cover of the week Best on Tap.
I don't agree. I'm still coming up with the name.
I think you might make her sad every time you say that.
Make Ari sad, Tony. You heartless.
Yeah.
Douche.
Yeah. So anyway, Batman 19, the Mad Magazine Al Jaffe special fold-in cover.
Yay!
Which... You know, this goes right back to, you know, my youth of being in grade school, buying Mad Magazine, and always waiting. Like, I was so excited to get to the end of the magazine because then I could fold that cover, like, and I'd sit there for...
You folded your covers, Derek?
Your
Mad Magazines aren't worth anything now.
Well, actually, they aren't because they're all in the trash. I didn't keep them.
I have a couple out in my living room.
Yeah, which I do love, like... I handed you the cover to look at in the bag. It's bagged and board for a reason. You take it out and you're like, I'm like, do not fold my fucking comic book. And you're like, I'm trying to see it. I'm like, oh, God. So
it was good.
Yeah. I had a fucking coronary. Just watching that happen.
So this cover's got a bunch of Batman's villains kind of in the center with Batman and Commissioner Gordon flanking on the left and right. And then if... You were
and
so
Man
inclined.
Bat.
And Man-Bat in the background. But if you were so inclined as to fold it, you would get the bat signal with Alfred P. Newman's.
Alfred E. Newman.
E. Newman. P. Yeah. Newman, E. Newman.
What would you call him earlier? Norman?
Thinking of Norman Rockwell, but...
Yeah. Or Norman Reedus. Yeah. So, all right, booze in a book.
But so that reminds me that back in the day, I always wanted to get a tattoo on my back. Where, like, my two shoulder blades come together. And so it'd be one picture when I was, like, flexing my muscles. But if I put my shoulder blades together, it'd make a Mad Magazine fold-up.
Yeah. I kind of like how, like, when young girls get, like, the eagle across their chest. And then, like, they get old and fat. And it, like, becomes
a condor.
Yeah. Hey, do you know why you can't hear pterodactyls go to the bathroom?
Because the pee is silent.
Yeah. Oh. That had nothing to do with nothing.
Nope.
Tony, did I actually tell a joke that actually made you laugh for once?
Yes. Okay. That was funny.
All right. Booze in a book this week. I have Avengers Arena, number 7, written by Dennis Hopeless, art by Alessandro Vitti. colors by Rain Barreto, and letters by Joe Caramagna.
When are we getting him on here?
I don't know. Joe's really bad at setting up the interview times, but we need to get him on here.
He's really good at writing.
And lettering.
And lettering, but I'm not sure.
I can't wait, though.
Can't get him on the phone, though. It's only email.
Yeah. I can't wait, because we backed his Kickstarter project, the Further Adventures of Wyatt Earp, and really excited to get that. So, anyway, I'm pairing Avengers Academy, number 7, with New Holland's Monkey King Saison Farmhouse Ale.
Hmm.
It is a 6.6% alcohol by volume. It is a saison with what they say are
saison
subtle
or session. Saison.
Saison.
Saison. I thought it was session.
I don't know.
I think it's session.
It could be.
Damn it! We gotta call Nick.
Well,
call him right now.
Yeah. Well, don't call him right now. But no. Well, and it could be. See here, you might actually know how to pronounce certain things in beer, but we can say artists and writers' names. So this farmhouse ale, they say has subtle fruit undertones. There's nothing subtle about it. But the reason I'm pairing these together is because the Monkey King, get it, the Monkey King, ready? And Adventures Arena, fucking bananas how good they both are.
I love the Monkey King.
That's it.
You know what?
Do you have a death count right now? How many people have died?
Well, according to the cover, yeah. According to the cover, 3 have died.
2 are questionable.
And 2 are questionable.
Dude, Kid Britain got beheaded in the last issue.
What?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I mean, he's really killing these characters. That's kind of...
Yeah, but, okay, with the exception of X-23, Deathlock, who cares? She's like Deathlock. And probably Reptile. I don't think I've heard of any of these other heroes.
But if you know Reptile...
Oh, no, Chase. You know, no, I know Chase. Man. Chase is from The Runaways, right?
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, basically you have The Runaways and you have Young Avengers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, okay, now I'm getting somewhere. Is
Avengers,
Molly in this?
Avengers
is Power Girl?
In there too. Avengers Academy.
Okay,
yeah.
There's Nico,
yeah.
Though. All right. Damn. Well, I hope neither of them die.
Well, there can be only one.
The Highlander.
Adrian
yeah.
Paul.
Well, oh, yeah, because the Highlander is going to be there. We were talking about it, how you could never have, like, the guy from the TV show and the movie at the same convention, because there can be only one.
But they were in the same movie, and then Duncan killed Connor.
Yeah.
Come on. You should know your Highlander history.
Yeah, sorry.
It's a documentary.
Sorry,
events happened in real time.
So, that pretty much wraps up everything. Although, Booze in a Book was brought to you by Inter Comics this week. Inter-comics.com. Go see them.
Cool. Last calls, or?
Yeah, good. I got a stack of books this week.
Yeah, well, I'll start off. I picked up Constantine number 2. Had a nice fold-out cover, you know, bifold cover. It's really neat.
Did you actually fold it up like you were trying to do with
mine? You just flip-out cover.
Well, what if there's extra stuff on there? I mean, you should start crumpling up your comic book cover.
Maybe it's a scratch and sniff. So, anyways, good book. Continuing on the story of finding Croydon's compass. But... Yeah, I'm kind of really intrigued with this Constantine book.
X number 0 from Dark Horse, written by Dwayne Swierczynski.
Is this about Racer X?
This is a reprint of the from Dark Horse Presents, the three little stories that were in there. Pretty cool. Rocketeer number 3, Hollywood Horror. This is still really fun and campy, and I've really been loving anything Rocketeer.
It's a really nice.
I can't wait till he teams up
and cover.
Yeah, that's that is pretty fancy.
I can't wait till he teams up with Rocket Raccoon. Best team up ever.
The Raccoonateer?
Yeah.
Oh, they should just mesh them together. Who cares about a team up?
One character.
Well, yeah, but if Rocket Raccoon was wearing a helmet, you couldn't tell he was a raccoon.
Yes, it would be a raccoon shaped helmet
out of it or something. I don't know.
Oh, well, what if you just gave the Rocketeer one of those furry tails that you see the people wearing?
You dress him up as a furry?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Avenging Spider-Man number 19.
You mean team ups?
Yeah, which will be team ups here soon. Star Wars number 4. Shrugged volume 2 number 2. Walking Dead. Haha. That was a interesting one.
Did we talk about the fact that Star Wars, they got the rights to potentially publish the original screenplays that Lucas had?
We haven't talked about it. To me,
I'll just bring it up because, you know, News and Notes was a while ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you just reminded me of Star Wars.
Yeah, let's be timely.
Okay. Let's go. Tony, take this, put it back in time to the news and notes section.
Let's time travel it back.
All right, what else you got?
Last one, Uncanny X-Men, number 4. This was kind of interesting. I won't ruin this for people, but this book spoiled the ending of all new X-Men from last week.
Of who was going to come with the Uncanny X-Men.
Right.
I love, though,
screw it, I'm going to spoil it. It's Dupe.
I love the cuckoos talking to Emma in her mind.
I have a question about this. So in all new X-Men, they set up, there's somebody that's coming into the team, right?
Well, okay.
Someone that you wouldn't expect.
Okay, so the in all new X-Men, mm-hmm. Cyclops and his band of evil mutants don't shake your head.
They're neutral. They're the band of neutral.
Are they lawful neutral or
chaotic? Yes.
Some of them are chaotic. Some of them are unlawful.
Okay, so anyway, they go to the good guys, Wolverine and the X-Men mm-hmm. school, and they're like, "Hey, we started a new school, the Charles Xavier School for the Gifted, and any of you that want to come can come." And all you saw was a little word balloon. It's like, "I'll go,"
yeah.
And everybody's like, "What?
What? So does crazy it eyes. Spoil it, or yeah. is it just
it
that
reveals.
This is the reveal in here?"
Well, but it said last time, find out next time who joined the team.
But next time is Uncanny X-Men.
No, it was all new. It was an all new that the question got posed. So.
Yeah. The same book, essentially.
Yeah, so
this is writing both of them. Come
that's
on.
True. Man. True, yeah.
Like
yeah.
I said, I can't wait for those two schools to play football against each other.
Oh, that would be a cool book. Or softball or tennis?
Kickball.
I got a feeling kickball. That ball wouldn't be so soft.
Gold ball could just pop them out.
Yeah. So. But yeah, that Uncanny actually, that was one of my favorite books this week. And it I love Chris Bochalo's art in that book.
Yeah, that cover is really cool. I like the graphic background to it.
Yeah. Well, and I tell you what, I mean, like his depiction of magic, like the new outfit and stuff on her, just killer. So that's everything I got.
Tony, anything else?
No, not really.
Oh, yeah, I picked up another one. I'm reaching off the floor. Picked up Ultron, is just the title. It's a tie-in with the Age of Ultron. Has to do with Victor.
Is that like the Tantra? Ultron? Is that like the number one AU?
Yeah, it's probably going to be. I believe it's going to lead into the AI Ultron story because I believe the character Victor Mancha, who was one of the Runaways, he came in on like the second story arc of the Runaways,
okay.
Where he turns out he's a robot and he was made by Ultron. So it's kind of like a second vision robot that Ultron made. So, of course, he's trying to keep the rest of the team's been dead like most people in Age of Ultron. But he's trying to keep these other kids alive. But he's a robot, so like the robots don't go after him. So he gets pissed and he says, "I'm going to do something about it." So I think he's one of the other characters that's going to be in the AI team.
Avengers AI.
Avengers AI team.
Okay.
So it makes sense. But, yeah, I totally had forgotten about it. When I found out that it tied in with The Runaways, I like that book. That was a good book.
Jim, you got a couple extra.
Yeah, so Buffy, Season 9, Issue 20, this is setting up for the last arc of the series. And this big flip, Xander's going to be basically a villain in it. And you guys don't care, but I'm sure there's some readers out there, listeners or something, that are freaking out with me.
Well, okay, they can't see this podcast, nor can they read it.
But they're reading. But they're reading Buffy.
I'm saying Buffy readers, yeah.
Listeners that read Buffy, yeah.
Listeners, or you know, if you don't, and I just spoiled it for you, like go pick it up if you like Buffy.
Although I suppose it's theoretically possible that somebody has taken our podcast and translated it into the written word for people that are hearing impaired.
Yeah.
And my other one was Sledgehammer.
I think that's a bit of a long shot, though.
Other one was Sledgehammer, the second and final issue of the arc.
Sledgehammer 44.
Sledgehammer 44. I'm sorry. So we got to wrap up to this really cool World War II story. And then right at the end, Mignola and Arcudi, just the writers, they bring it into the Hellboy universe. And it was really cool. I loved how they did it.
You look all giddy.
I get giddy about comics. Unlike you guys.
What do you mean, unlike us?
Well, we're all jaded and stuff. He's still giddy. He's got that youthful spirit.
Just wait till the video podcast starts and you'll just see how, like, you guys are grimacing all the time when you're talking about these books.
Oh, we'll
and
break
so
you.
Uninteresting.
Yeah, no, it's. Tell you what, though, there were a lot of good books this week.
Indeed.
And I am going to give one last shout out go to your local retailer and get Journey number one this coming week. It's just fucking awesome. So, I think that pretty much does it, at least for me.
Does it for me.
I'm spent.
I'm just going to go for like another half hour.
All right. But, you have fun with that.
Yeah.
We're all going to take off, so.
All right, guys.
We'll crack the window for you.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I'm Derek.
I'm Matt.
Oh, I'm Jim.
Tony, this is where you talk. The awkward silence is really uncomfortable for people at home. Like,
they thought we were probably done already.
Yeah. All right, well, that's Tony.
Yeah.
So, keep reading those comics, guys. We'll be back again next week to talk to you about them later.
I'm Tony.
Down.